Queen in progress. Such a nice soft voice. Okay, thanks, Brian. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome. Tuesday night. Stephanie, what's up?
Yes, I'm still waiting for the answer that Tracy.
What was the question?
The question was, if a mother is Jewish and has boys and doesn't circumcise them, does it make them non-Jewish or Jewish?
So they are Jewish. It's funny. Oh, now my lens is, hang on a second.
Yeah.
I just have to stop video and start video. That's all I need to do. There we go. So the short answer is they are Jewish, but there are many mitzvot that they cannot participate in, not being circumcised. But certainly being born of a Jewish mother, like for example, there were many people born in the Soviet Union over the years. They weren't allowed to give a Brit Milah. People only got a Brit Milah later in life. They're certainly Jewish, whatever year, however old the person is, when they're going to get the Brit Milah, you know, it could be even as an adult. That is certainly, they're allowed to do so, and they are Jewish. They are born of a Jewish mother, but there are mitzvah commandments that they cannot participate in.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Anyone else? Okay. That's right. I forgot to have Brian. Okay. So we are, I know this is Shoshana's favorite subject. So we are still discussing this first principle of belief, foundations of Judaism. I use the word fundamentals of Judaism. And again, I'm going to repeat the first one. There are two parts. There are two halves. Usually there aren't. But this one sort of has two parts to it. I should post it. I believe with complete faith that God is the creator and ruler of all things. He alone has made, does make, and will make all things. So they're connected, but they're separate. So we're still basically on this first, I believe with complete faith that God is the creator and ruler of all things. And I think we're making headway, especially after now that this is post-Hanukkah. And Hanukkah, we talk about miracles. And I would like to ask those who may not be a believer, or at least ambivalent in God, if you don't believe in God, how is there such a thing called a miracle? Where does that come from? We all talk about miracles. Who's making the miracle if the whole world came about, or, you know, if we're accidental? Accidents don't cause miracles. A miracle, you might think, may happen by accident. Oh, we bumped into each other by accident, and it's a miracle that we saw each other. But if you believe in God, that had a reason, a rhyme, and a reason, and a purpose to be able to get there. Accidents don't cause miracles. They may precipitate a miracle, but they don't cause a miracle. Yes, Shoshana. You're on mute. Yeah, I'm muted.
So you ask where miracles come from if we don't believe in God, right?
Correct. And
so maybe God is such a definitive term that it might be a huger, gigantic force of energy, because it is. We are all made up of energy. We are all matter. And to say, like, when I you know, I connect with somebody, I connect with a person, all of a sudden we're like dialing each other, texting each other and calling each other. Is that God? I think that's energy. We have a frequency. We each have a frequency and we move in different frequencies. That's why you meet a person and you don't like them for some reason. They didn't say anything. They didn't do anything, but your back goes up or something. And it's, I don't know, the opposite. You meet somebody and you just see geschmack. You like the person and it doesn't matter what it is or what, you know, it's just right. It's energy. To say that this is God and it's, you know, we are the only species in the world that can believe in science and also believe in the stories of God and the miracles and be, you know, and like Santa Claus and all the other things that marketing and consumerism teaches us. But is that energy called God? We run on an energy, and it's proven, science can prove that the earth is billions of years old. It's not 5,000 years old.
Okay, so Shoshana, I'm gonna refer you back. You can rewatch the class from 2 weeks ago. It's recorded. It's on.
Did we have the same conversation?
Yes, we had the exact same conversation.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Asked me the exact same question.
Yes.
And, Brian is shaking his head there also.
So because you keep saying accident, and I don't know, there's something about the word accident. I don't know.
Well, let me ask you this. You mentioned two words, and again, I'm just. What we talked about last time, where did the energy come from? Where does the frequency come from?
There are billions of universes.
But where do they come from?
We're the only one with the God.
Where did they come from? All these, whatever you want to say that was,
maybe,
where did it come from? Forget about, you know, millions and billions and trillions. Where did it, however many years, where did it come from?
So the answer to that is
yes.
God. Yeah?
Oh.
I'm just saying.
Let me get up close.
No, you're close. Saying that the answer where that is God. That's what you're saying.
What else is there? Give me an option.
I don't know. It's good to ask questions.
Why are you fighting it? So
it's
why are you working so hard to fight it when there's such a simple answer?
What's the simple answer?
You just said it. God. God came first. God created everything. That's where energy comes from. That's where frequency. There is a president of the company who built the company.
Mm-hmm.
Simple.
Mm-hmm.
It's simple.
Mm-hmm. And during COVID, we were not taught to go to God.
We were taught to go to science. Shoshana.
Yes.
Don't jump around.
Okay.
We're talking about where we come from. Don't say now COVID and then my hair color. We're talking about the creation of the world. We're talking about whatever number of years, where did we come from? We're staying back there. Where do we come from?
It's evolution. It's
where
it's,
did from what
we mixed, obviously.
From what? Keep trying. Keep going.
Well, apes and
where did
they
the apes
mixed,
come from? Yes,
you know?
yes. Good.
Where did it come from?
Yes, right. That's my question. And
well, it didn't come 5,000 years ago. Poof.
It didn't come
like that either.
How do you know?
How do you know?
Because I have a Torah that's at least 3,000 years old.
Okay. You know what I love about being here and you, and maybe I will one day have this divine, pure faith and hope, because it's so beautiful, really. You talk about trust. You asked me once about trust, and it's about trust.
That's the truth. All I'm asking for, Shoshana, is another option. Every time you go back and you say, well, apes or frequencies, or where did You're just giving me another noun. You're not giving me another. Well,
truly, reason. Where I think it came from, or what
yes.
I started.
Yes, all these things that you're talking about.
You know, man tells stories about stories. We tell
stories. No problem.
Stories.
But where did man come from?
Where did man come from? From Darwin's theory. Like,
where did Darwin come from?
From his mother.
Where did his mother come from? Keep going.
What?
Come on.
But everything, just every question becomes to that?
Well, everything needs a source.
Yes.
Everything needs
I
a
agree.
Source.
I
your,
agree.
Your clothes.
Yes,
Has a maker that weaved and whatever. Your glasses has, so the glass came from, that has a source. You know
I
it.
I agree.
Made in China. Made
I
in
believe China. There is a source.
So
I believe
what is
there
the source?
Is a force.
So I'm telling you, I have one way of looking at it, which is God, which answers everything. If you're struggling with that, give me another option. And until you have, think about it. Don't just blurt out. Come up with an option. Where did it come from? Not what is. Where did it come from? Whatever you're going to tell me exists.
But what does it matter? It's like looking at a problem and going, okay, it happened because of that.
I'm going to move on because you're not addressing. Now, you're saying, so why does it matter? I didn't ask you why it matters. I asked you, where did it come from? Why it matters is a separate question.
I'm not
Let's
a scientist. How do you know where it came from?
The question is, where did it come from? I'm saying that God is at least a possibility of where it came from.
No, you say it so absolutely.
No,
you
I'm not.
It's
I'm
a possibility.
God is a, listen, please.
Yeah.
God is a possibility of where it came from. If
yes.
you have another possibility, please tell me.
I just told you.
Where?
It's energy.
Where did the energy come from?
Velvet? I don't know, but it's
okay.
It's there. So that's what you mean, it's an accident. Because I don't know where it comes from. It's like the tree in the forest. I don't know.
Okay.
Maybe we shouldn't. What?
Shoshana, what you need to establish in your mind is that anything that exists on the planet, where did it come from? Do you know something on the planet? Did your building come? Do you know anything else on the planet that came about by accident like we came about? By evolution. Did your apartment building come about by evolution? Did your clothing come about by evolution? Did your height of growth come about
by
evolution?
No, it was manufactured.
Do you know anything else on the planet? Just listen to the question before you start to answer. Do you know anything else on the planet that evolutionized? Your building. Yeah, your building must have been an evolution. They were building a building next to yours. And by evolution, it just built another building for them.
Well,
Give
centuries
me something.
Go through evolutions. We go through evolutions. This has been the strongest technology evolution. We have different kinds of evolutions.
Okay. So we're going to move on. Vic.
Okay.
And again, Shoshana, you just got to listen to the classes, review them because we're just going through the same thing over and over again.
Rebbe, I'm not sure if I said it in my share on Chanukah, but what you said earlier about you've got the Torah. And I remember that the angriest my father ever got with me is when I said to him, how do you know there's a God? And he said to me, you go study the Torah for 30 years in detail with many rabbis, and then we can have this discussion. And so I was doing what Shoshana's doing. I didn't study enough to come and have this argument, to come and have this discussion.
Okay. Thank you for that, Vic. Very good. Stephanie?
I think she's getting hung up on the name God, G-O-D.
Okay.
That's all.
But that could be, but I'm still looking for an alternative. You're back on mute.
We know it's God. We believe in God. We believe that we all came from God. It's a name also. And I think maybe she's getting hung up on the name.
I don't think she's getting hung up. I hear what you're saying, Stephanie. I don't think she's getting hung up on the name, but I'm getting hung up on, you know, like Fiddler on the Roof. On the one hand, But on the other hand, so all I'm looking for, Shoshana, is at the other hand. I've given you one hand, which is the God option, that if, which to me, if there is a God, everything makes sense. Provide me, but on the other hand, what is the other source of where this entire beautiful universe comes from? Who is the creator? It's not God, it is Zeus. I don't know. So that's what I'm getting hung up by.
Rabbi, can I ask a quick question about what Shoshana was saying, that had evolution over billions of years? Is God creating the earth in six days, and then he rested on the seventh day? Is a day for God, could a day for God be a billion years?
That's correct. Very good, Vic. And that is what we talked about in 2 weeks ago, which is why I'm asking Shoshana to please listen to that class again, because we went through this. That's correct. The 6 days of creation doesn't say that they were 24 hours of the 6 days of creation. Doesn't say that anywhere. So anyway, my friends, the first step is that we need to know, and the truth, looking around the room here, that the program of recovery talks about a higher power. Where does that higher, whatever your higher power is, where did that come from? The group, the chair, the doorknob, the sky, whatever is my higher power, where did it come from? Or is that the first? And that's why people back, before Abraham Avinu, used to worship many gods, because they first they thought it was the sun, and then once the clouds came, they said, "Oh, the sun isn't so powerful. It must be the clouds." But then the rain came, and then they said, "Oh, forget the clouds. The rains are more powerful than that. Let's worship the rains." And then the wind came and blew them all away. And they said, forget the sun, forget the clouds, forget the rain. Let's worship the wind. And then the sun came and halted the wind. Well, we're back to it. And they didn't know where to go. So the evolution became a revolution revolving around, going from this one to that one, to this one, to that one, to that, back to this one. They didn't know. Until somebody, Avraham Avinu, woke up and said, but where did all this stuff come from? Forget about who's strong. Where did all this stuff come from? And if Avraham Avinu and Shoshana, the Jews of 3,300 years, have not found an alternative, I don't think someone 3,300 years later is going to find one, but you're always welcome to try. Denise.
Hi. Okay, this is such a simple question that I'm going to ask.
Oh.
I love it. What does it matter? Wait, can I say one thing? In the program, we are told, pretty much, you got to get yourself a higher power or you're in trouble.
Right.
But it never said the higher power that created the universe. You just have to believe in a power greater yourself. And for me, it's got to be more than a chair or, whatever, the meeting. It's got to be more spiritual, more of a higher connection. But what does it matter whether or not my higher power created everything or not?
Okay. Very fair question. Two things. Number one is that you'll find, even in the big book, although it talks about higher power, it actually references God many, many times as the creator of the universe. And it talks about the universe numerous times in the big book. We've encountered it in our Monday thing. You can go back and do a search and you'll see it. You'll see it yourself. Number two is that from a Jewish perspective, there is a difference between the spiritual value of just having a higher power and a Jewish responsibility of why there are certain things that are required of me. Okay, so now, and so Denise's question is perfect because that's the segue onto the second half of the first principle. The second half of the first principle is, do we have a speed typer here who can type this in the chat?
If I had a BlackBerry.
If I can give you mine, who can type? Sandy, can you type this in the chat, please?
I can do it if you want.
Farid, okay, thank you.
What do you want to say?
Tell me when you're ready.
I'm ready.
I believe with complete faith that God is the creator with a capital C.
Mm-hmm.
And ruler of all things, semicolon.
Mm-hmm.
He alone, he being capital H, mm-hmm. has made, comma, does make, comma, and will make all things, period. And if you just post that, so
that it?
That's it.
Is that all? Oh my gosh.
Thank you so much. So everyone can now reference that first principle. So we discussed until the semicolon, I believe we believe that God is the creator and ruler of all things. Now, the second half is that he alone has made, does make, and will make all things. So that, I'm gonna delve right into this. I like seeing Michael's eyebrows furrow there. That's great. And that is where we understand that Hashem is above time. Hashem is not bound by what was, what is, and what will be, like us human beings, but Hashem is a conglomeration almost. It's a combination of past, present, and future, which is a hard concept for us to understand. You see, when a person takes on a higher power, what does that mean? It means a power greater than me. So in order to be able to get a little bit of Denise's question, in order to deal with my issues, I just need to know that fact that I'm not it. That there is a power greater than me. Whatever it is whatever. But when a person really wants to, now really starts getting better, and for some people, it could have been the chair or the meeting or the room or the building. Whoa, what a building. This building, I ran into a brick wall. I guess the brick wall is a power greater than myself. I can't break the brick wall. I got hurt. The brick wall didn't budge. It's a power greater than myself. So just for me to gain a level of humility that I'm not it, better than everybody, a brick wall is certainly enough. But once my head starts clearing out and my thinking process returns, and then I start thinking deeper into matters, I realize it's not the brick wall, because somebody must have built the brick wall. How did this brick wall get here? And that's how we get back to, so where did that come from? I used materials. Where did the materials come from? Blah, 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 blah. That's why it's important to take it the step further and to understand that as a person's mind gets clearer, and again, one of the litmus tests, we talked about this recently also, that a person is doing better in life is that a person starts thinking beyond the brick wall. It's no more just, Okay, the brick wall did it for me for now. Like Denise was saying, this was good while my mind was still, you know, flooded with stuff. But as it's clearing, then the brick wall, then I start thinking beyond the brick wall, and I want to take this even further now, which is why I think that this group is so phenomenal, because as our heads are clear, Baruch Hashem, with so much good behind us, we're thinking on a whole different level. All right, let's get some questions. Vic, go ahead, please.
Rabbi, I once saw a lecture by an Orthodox rabbi like yourself, and I might have shared it with a group. I'm not sure, but to me, one of the biggest miracles is we are a tiny little nation, and we've survived for over 3,000 years. And the Greek empires come and gone, the Roman empires come and gone, the English empires come and gone, the United States looking a bit shaky. And we're just hanging on, and we're this tiny little people. So to me, that is such a big miracle. And actually what this rabbi said is the only difference why we've survived between and these other huge empires didn't survive was because of the Torah. Because we are the only difference between us and those other nations is that we've got the Torah.
Vic, I think I might be that other rabbi, because that's what we discussed here. Again, you may have heard it elsewhere as well, because it's a common theme, if you want to say, between, you know, a lot of us educators. But certainly we've discussed that here many times, and that's very true. And that's what I meant before about miracles, that some things just are. The fact that the sun comes out every day and we know, and it doesn't change. The wind changes. Some things does change, some things don't change. You'd have to have some other great force other than a God that, you know, the probability, and that's what we talked about last week, even two times ago, that the probability of it happening by accident is like Shoshana's apartment building coming about by accident. The wind blew and branches just blew together and built her a building. That's about what you're saying, how the world, the type of accident needed, miracle needed to be able to create a world, let alone just a building, that everything is working in tandem. But that is very true, very correct. Brian, go ahead, please.
Actually, I think Eliyahu, David had his hand up first, then he put it down. But I'll just quickly share. You see this painting behind me, and I look at it and I go, a monarch butterfly. Is that just random? No. It is a miracle, and it is a miracle that I know nothing about, but I'm amazed by it. Don't know if anybody's ever seen what a monarch butterfly does during the winter. They all end up on the same mountain in Mexico. It's incredible. Hundreds of millions of monarch butterflies migrate there every year. That isn't random. That obviously is something beyond magic. It is God-given, and I'm a skeptic myself, like Shoshana is from time to time. But when I look at something like that painting and I go, it can't just be random. This isn't an accident. This is God given. And I just have to accept it. So thank you for allowing me to share.
Excellent, Brian. Thank you. Leo Devin.
Yeah, so it would be a huge miracle if a bunch of branches just came together and created a building. Anyways, yes. But I think how people get confused is that we have the ability to create. We were born with the ability to create, but we cannot create something from nothing. Only God has the ability to create something from nothing. So I think sometimes we get confused with our own ego, that we think we're creators, that we think that we are doing things, but we're only using the materials that God gave us in order to create things. I mean, that's just something that I was thinking about.
Very good. Very good. Michael.
Rabbi, you want to prompt me to talk? There's no need for that. I've just been loving listening to all the ideas here. I want to say to Vic, you know, last week, my thoughts on Hanukkah were exactly what you're talking about the, you know what, it's that Mark Twain has a short essay about how, you know, asking how have the Jews survived when all these other empires have failed? And the last line of it is quite rhetorically, what is the secret to their immortality? And I think the answer is kind of what we're talking about here. You know, the other thing is we can explain things down until their origin point. We know where a tree comes from a seed and how it grows or whatever, but where did the seed come from? It's that, as you said, it's the something from nothing, nothing as far as we can perceive it. That, I call it the God point. You know, you can take things down only so far until nobody has any explanation. I also just wanted to mention, you're talking about that God exists beyond time. I think there's an interesting subject to cover in terms of the Bereshit story, because as we said, a day as described in the Torah could have been a billion years from our measurement, but it does give some kind of hint as to the duration of it when it says Vayehi Erev Vayehi Boker, that there's some sort of, there was a transition. And I'd like to hear your thoughts, not tonight, but I'd like to hear your thoughts about what that means, Vayehi Erev Vayehi Boker, in terms of the passage of time and states of things. I think there's a whole other area in there. Last thing I wanted to mention was Shoshana described some people as geschmackt. I love that, because I think it means they're tasty. That's a nice way to describe it. They're delicious, beautiful. Thanks for asking.
Very good. Thanks, Michael. Rachel, Jake?
Yeah, just following along with what Michael said and what Shosh said in the beginning about the billions of years. On the first day, God said, abracadabra, and the heaven and the earth were created. By the way, abracadabra, and the magic, it comes from Aramaic.
Mm-hmm.
And of course the Hebrew, because abra means to create, kadabra means as I speak. Someone I think is talking at the same time. Yeah. So the concept of day, vayir, vayir, boker, what day was the concept of day created? Fourth day. Okay. That answers my question. Thank you.
Thanks for sharing. Anyone else? Bernie, what do you think?
Well, I have faith because I put myself in harm's way, from a very young age. And plus, you know, I prayed as a child. My grandmother taught me to pray. I didn't know what I was saying, but I had that belief, and I never lost it. But I do go off when I'm not well or angry or not sleeping well or something's not going my way or a few things don't go my way in a row. I do get angry, and I find in those moments I can drift off and I can revert to to a different person. And at that moment, I have to work myself back into good orderly direction and belief, and recognize that I'm lost in my brain. It hasn't happened that much in the last bunch of years, but it happens. But then again, I block my feelings by using. So, but I do believe I usually don't have a problem. I did put an effort in. I read the Duties of the Heart, and a couple times. So I put an effort into, and I believe.
Very good. All right, anyone else? Lori.
It's interesting, everything that we're saying here tonight, because it's such a topic. And so they've been going to quite a few classes since this whole COVID thing, and understanding that, you know, we are, what I've come to understand, we have part of Hashem in each one of us. And that's why I say the warmth that's there keeps us kind of together, like atoms and eons and the whole science of it all. And you want source and energy and all of this and matter. And it's funny what you just said, Bernie, because I have these two books and I want to study Duties of the Heart, but I call it Matters of the Heart. Because there was something, because if something matters to you, it matters, because we are matter. And just how it all becomes the energy, but it comes down from a source. And I do believe there's something way bigger than myself and all of us put together, and we're pretty powerful, just us in this little unit. And I do believe warmth, like I remember in science with atoms. So I started wondering about Adam and all of this stuff, and go back to the science. And even still, sometimes I sat there and wonder, how is my body actually working? I don't even have a reboot, unless you go to sleep and that's where we're getting rebooted, or Shabbat, I don't know. But that just, we're all functioning, the heart's pumping and everything's going, it just can't just happen. And I do believe one of God's children, and I believe each one of you guys are also, and we put ourselves together and we are feeling each other like a family and feeling comfortable with each other, that we're able to express ourselves, and all of the above makes it such a great energy, powerful, global warming, wherever you want to call it. We do affect the world, I do believe, because if something matters to me, it matters because it affects my body, which will actually affect your bodies. And I think we all matter.
So I want to go back to, very good. I want to go back, now that Denise is here, to an example that I gave, I think it was either 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago, with the insurance company for Denise. And the this was the example. You were not. I remember specifically you were not here on that night. So I think I'm going to get Denise to weigh in on this. And the example I gave was, so you get this driver, and I know you probably don't do a car and whatever, but you're in the business. So you get this driver, and he gets into an accident. So the insurance company says, it was an accident. Happens. They settle, do whatever. 2 weeks later, gets into another accident. Insurance company goes, okay, twice, okay, happens. Anyway, a few weeks later, gets into another accident. The insurance company goes, okay, now it's not, you know, the first time it's an accident, okay, it's an accident. Now the third time it's already, okay, it was an accident. The fourth time, you get even a bigger crash. Oh, no, not another accident. And then it comes to a point where the insurance company says, cut him off. We're not insuring this guy anymore because it's no longer an accident. This guy is just a terrible driver. He's got some, I don't know, whatever he's got. It's no longer an accident. Is that correct, Denise? Am I saying something like sort of within the realm of?
After two, you're out.
Okay, well, after two. I'm at six, seven, whatever. And my point is that Hashem lives in this world and hides behind this world. If a person wants to recognize and say that, oh, you know how we met? Oh, it was an accident. No, you know how we met? It was because God wanted us to. Those are the two options. Either Hashem wanted us to, and that's why we met, or totally random occurrence, that's why we met. I got into an accident, a car accident. You know why? Because Hashem wanted me to. No, what are you talking about? Hashem wants me to get into an accident? Totally random. A Jew believes that everything happens from Hashem. And a Jew looks at it going, but this is an accident, and that's an accident, and how I breathe, and like what Lori was saying, and everybody else was saying, that this is how the world is going, and the sun is moving, and the seasons are changing, and the fruit is growing. There's just too many accidents for it to just be an accident. At one point, the accident has to be, it's enough of the accidents. He's a bad driver. I mean, there's a root cause to all these accidents. It can't just be, it's already enough with the accidents. Mamach m'shigim mit al accidents, as we would say in Yiddish. He's driving me crazy by telling me it's just another accident. Can you imagine this guy after two going back to the insurance company? But it was an accident. Why do accidents always happen to you? You know, whatever it is, sooner or later, there's a hard stop, and he said, that's it. Sooner, we have to say, if this was an accident, that was an accident, sooner or later, we got to say, that's it, must speak. It's enough. Genug, depending on wherever you come from. Now, so Denise, was I clear on that one?
Yeah, you gave the guy a lot of breaks that aren't given in the real world, but yeah.
Okay, thanks. Good thing I'm not in the insurance business, or else I guess I'd be broke.
yeah, you wouldn't be a great actuarial rabbi.
right. So now to the second half of this, what Vered wrote here. He alone has made, does make, and will make all things. If God is the ultimate, the definition of God is that is the originator. So if I'm going back to my famous example of I'm the president of UPS. So I started the company. I continue to run the company, and I will continue to make the decisions for the company. I was, am, and is the company. I'm the CEO. And that's the way we, again, kaviyachol, have an understanding of Hashem, that Hashem was, is, will be. There's a difference, though. I don't want to get into it now. The Derech Hashem, the way of God, you know, takes it to another level. I don't want to go there. I want to try to keep this simple right now. Just understanding that when there's a creator, when I'm the originator, who is the one? Who was the one who built Amazon? I started Amazon. I started Google. So I was. I'm the guy who was. I started it. I still run it until today. And I continue. And I'm making decisions for it to go along because I'm the guy. The buck stops here. And my friends, the buck stops with Hashem. And that's what the second half of this Mishnah is teaching us. Of his principle. Maimonides' principle is teaching us that Hashem alone, for us to give us an understanding that that a ruler, a creator that is ongoing, as we say in Tehillim, in verse, Michael knows, 121, Hine lo yanum v'lo yishan shomer Yisrael. Hashem neither sleeps nor slumbers. God is like, you know, he's on the job all the time. God doesn't need a break. We need a break. One second. Why hasn't there ever been an accident of a person who was created who needs no sleep? Or maybe there was, I want to see an accident. A person who, because it's not God, right? If there is no purpose, then there's got to be some accident around. Why? Find me a person who can survive without eating. Why is that? That there is no accident for. There is no accident that the sun rises in the west and sets in the east. Never happened before. No such accident. Why not? So that's what I'm saying. When enough happens, when there are enough, at one point, a person needs to say to themselves that it's enough with the accidents. I got it. And the truth is, my friends, this is so program oriented because this is the definition of insanity. The definition of insanity would say everything is an accident and this is an accident and this is an accident and there's no end to the accidents. Good. So give insurance to the guy who gets into 5 car accidents and see how long you last. Conceptually, you can do that. Sure. In reality, it ain't going to work. But if a person wants to think, I got 100 accidents. You know, somebody who says, I've been married 5 times. Pretty soon, you know, imagine going out on a date with somebody who says, I've been married 5 times. And you go, oh, thanks. Nice to meet you. I don't want to marry you because I don't want to be number 6. But you know, the first one was because of this, and the second one because it was the mother-in-law, and the third one was because of that. I don't know, whatever. Everybody got mixed up. Yeah, what's going to be with the next one? So at what point do you say, forget it, this guy or this girl, I'm not touching this one, that there's a problem here. So everything has to, enough with the accidents. If you have a soul, no one else has come up with anything solid. I can just tell you that with all the philosophers of the world, no one else has come up with anything viable to the God alternative other than, yeah, evolution. But then where did evolution come from? That we don't know, but at least something, you know, I'll give you something. But a Jew goes, that doesn't work. That doesn't work. So Hashem is the creator. Hashem has made, does make, and will make all things. Hashem will say, if there's going to be another variant, is not an accident if there's another variant that comes out next week and closes everything down again. It's Hashem saying, that's what will be. And as much as people struggle with the question of, well, does that mean, Rabbi, that Hashem made the Holocaust? The answer is yes. And I'm not apologetic about it either. It's just because I have difficulty dealing with it doesn't mean that it's not true. It means that I have difficulty dealing with it. When the doctor says, God forbid, you know, I'm sorry to tell you, sir, but you have condition ABC, I got to deal with it. The doctor has to say it. The doctor's unapologetic in telling you, I'm sorry to tell you, sir, madam, but you have whatever. The doctor's unapologetic. I have to tell you. Now, the person may not want to, what? What are you talking about? It's not true. I'm not feeling so bad. But that's the reality. I'm unapologetic for God. Hashem made the Holocaust. Why? We'll deal with it. That's not for now. But everything that happened, the same is true with the Spanish Inquisition. The same is true with the Crusades. The same is true with everything. If Hashem has made, makes, and will make, that means everything in history has a purpose, a rhyme, and a reason. I may not know it. It may not be able to fit in my brain. But that is the reality. And that is a summation of just the first principle. Questions, comments, Vered. Let's hear from some people I don't get to hear from. And Yaakov. Vered, go ahead.
So, again, we keep going back to this, you know, what Shoshana was talking about, the evolution thing. I so cannot relate to that because I just can't. I think it's such a, for me, it's such a sad way to look at life. And I think that you know, when we learn, or at least when I learned about how the world was made, I learned that there were many worlds before this one. And we know that everything that there is now, and it's funny because I heard this also from someone who wasn't even Jewish, who said that everything we have in this world, everything we're doing now, already existed before. It's just that we didn't know how to use it. We didn't know how to find it. And then I was reading something, I was reading part of Tehillim, and then it gave me all kinds of different prayers over Hanukkah to say. And a part of that had, you know, parts from the Torah, and it talked about spices and different recipes to use for different cures. It was one specific to people with going through cancer. And I was like, oh my God, everything's in the Torah. Everything we need, we may not know it because, you know, we haven't learned it, but it's all in there. So how can that be? And we're not saying that, you know, there wasn't some big bang. There could have been, but God created it. I mean, there has to have been something at the beginning. That's just my thought. I don't know. I can go on about it forever, but everyone's got their own opinions, and I respect that. I just, for me personally, the thought that it's not God, I can't even go there. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks for sharing. Who else? Penny.
Hello.
Oh, Yaakov, go ahead.
I love the saying, and I probably will butcher it, that the Torah was created to keep the Jews, or the Jews were chosen to keep the Torah. Something like that. Can the Rav give me that correct saying? Because I love it.
I don't remember exactly how it goes. It actually has something to do with, is it odd or is it God? And that's something to the point of the Jews chose God, God. I know what you're referring to. I just, somebody told it to me, and I had like this mental block for it. He must have told it to me about 10 times, and I still can't remember it. So, but I know what you're referring to. A nice block. It was a rhyme.
I don't know if it was a rhyme, but I think it was something to do with, give me a sec here.
Oops.
I'm having a mind blank as well, but I love that saying.
Okay.
Was the Torah created to keep the Jews, or were the Jews chosen to keep the Torah? I love it. Oh, anyway, okay. That's what I have.
Okay, fair enough. Nancy. Oh, I didn't see Michael's hand. Okay, then we'll get to Mike. All right, so while Nancy gets ready, how about Michael? Oh, Nancy's there. Go ahead, Nancy.
No, I'm briefly going to say everybody's questioning everything. But, I mean, I think you just have to take a leap of faith when it comes to believing in God, because you can't prove anything. So that's my thoughts on it.
Ah, very good. So this is where Nancy and I will disagree. I will show you that Judaism has nothing to do with a leap of faith. Other religions are a leap of faith. Judaism is not about a leap of faith. I believe that Judaism is so crystal clear that it's not about a leap of faith. It's 8:28. Michael, I'm going to beg your indulgence. I just want to talk about one other principle before I close tonight. And that is the word predictions. Lori's already making faces at me. Predictions, which means that the Torah has made many, many predictions of what will be. We have prophets, right? A prophet means I see the future. So if there's no such thing as God and things are random and accidents, how can anybody predict anything? How can the Torah make predictions that are still valid 3,300 years later? Make me a prediction. And that all the predictions of the Torah, that's also an accident. Oh, yeah, it just happened to be. The stock market's going to go up tomorrow. Yeah, it just happened to be. and the predictions also should be random? That's what I'm saying. It gets to a point where it's just too much already. I've got to give in that it just, there's got to be something that's pulling the strings. How can you make predictions? I mean, you can make predictions, but be right all the time. So as we say as follows, Rabbi Mati Berger uses it's too long an example, I'm not going to go into it now, but he says at one point he used a prediction of a guy who kept being right on the stock market. And then eventually, and every time he says, give me your money, I'll double. Give me your money, I'll double. And he was right every single time, to the point where the guy says, this guy isn't smart. This guy doesn't know the stock market so well. This guy is cheating. He's got insider information. That's how he's able to do it. And that, my friends, is Hashem. Hashem is the insider information who created the world, who knows. This is what's going to happen. And everything that Hashem said, that the Torah said is going to happen, happened and continues to happen. Has happened, is happening, continues to happen. Go explain that by accident. Oh, Shoshana's thinking, Rabbi's got a point here. Maybe that, how do we explain prediction?
Rabbi, I don't know what accident you're talking about. I'm not being facetious. Okay. I don't know Torah. And it's true, I'm probably here because I'm very interested in the energy that I feel from the people around me. And it's coming
from you. Because yes, you, coming from and me. It's great. And it's great. I don't know about everybody else, but I love it.
But I don't, I don't want to be like the opposition or the adversary to not believing in God, because this is not true. I'm searching. Yes. I'm searching, yes. And I'm looking, yes. And I question everything. I question, not yes. just you. It's, I told you with the four vinyl chairs when I was a kid, I bit yes. everyone. It's, yes. I'm very curious. Yes. I've always been. Yes. And I love that. And I want Perfect. To stay that way.
That's why we're talking about it. I love it. Explain predictions. Hocus anyway, Hocus. Michael, go ahead, please.
I don't know. I like the abracadabra. I've read that. That was cool.
And then we'll close. Go ahead, Michael.
Yeah, I think in the spirit of what Shoshana is saying, it's much easier for me to relate to somebody that says, I'm very angry with Hashem, rather than somebody that says, I don't care one way or the other. That leaves me very cold. I don't know where to go with that. Like, well, then what do you believe in? But I just wanted to say, for me, Judaism stands apart from the other religions, as you've mentioned many times, that no other religion claims a national revelation between Hashem and the Jewish people. The other thing is, no other religion claims, has a holy book that has this line in it, where Hashem says, "V'lakachti etchem li la'am." I take you to be my people. Actually, it's past. I took you to be my people. That line alone blows my head off. But I just wanted to say, with what you're talking about Hayahoveh and Yihyeh, I'd like to hear on some other day your thoughts about. I think pretty early on in the relationship between Moshe Rabbeinu and Hashem, Moshe asks Hashem, what will I tell people about you? And the response is, I think, Ehyeh Asher Ehyeh. And that's entirely in the future, isn't it? I will be what will be, if I'm translating that right. And that's an entirely future-based thing that Hashem is saying about himself, isn't that?
That's correct. Well, what you're talking about are the predictions that I was just mentioning, that Hashem will take the Jewish people out of Egypt, or how it was. All these are predictions that,
So maybe is whatever happens, it's me being Hashem. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
That's correct. Very good. All right, everyone. Thank you so much. What a wonderful, energetic energy. Where's the energy?
We're going to end this now.
Where does the energy come from? Shoshana, thank you.
From everybody. From everybody. It's all about.
You're awesome, Shoshana.
It was great. Thank you so much, everyone, for joining. We're back here tomorrow night for Wednesday Night of Spiritual Awakening, Brian's favorite flagship meeting. Thank you all for joining. Brian, did you notice how much less I was coughing tonight?
Yes.
A little bit.
I'm getting better. Baruch Hashem. Thank you.
Yes, it's true.
Thank you for your concern.
Yes, Penny. So thank you all for joining. We'll see you tomorrow night. Yes, Penny, go ahead, please.
Yes. I listened to everything. It's so interesting. I just want to share this. This is about myself. It's not really about us or Rabbi. It's not the other night or anything, but just in general, listening to everybody. I grew up in not being taught and not going to synagogue, not really talking about God and Torah and everything else, pretty much nothing. When it came to God, my mother would say a few comments here and there about God, and what I felt is there, I never thought about it. Is there a God? Is there not? I don't think I prayed that much. I may have said, please let this work out. I have to say that I've just come to been so exposed to the Torah and God in these years, in my younger, later years, or however I want to refer to it. But that's, I've never been so embroiled and learned so much. And when I think back now with my exposure here, when I think back, I have to say that I do ask now why, and I'm not supposed to ask why, but I think of my life now and I'm thinking, gee, some of it kind of, why didn't, I'm not supposed to, but I am saying it. Why did this happen now? Why not a while ago? I just wanted to share that with everyone that I didn't really know either way. Thank you.
Okay, very good. Thank you for sharing. All right, everybody else good? Great, all right. Thank you so much for joining. God willing, we'll see you tomorrow. Have a great day.
Bye, everybody.
Laila Tov.
Laila Tov.
Now, how are you supposed to put that
in Tov, everyone.
No more Hanukkah. It was so nice, Hanukkah. It was really, really beautiful. You know,